This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
JD said Steven St. Diesel ran a 5.9 is wildly inaccurate. Pretty sure it was a 5.4. Alex Guest, friend of the show, friend of the station, host on the station, texted and said, quote, personally, I don't think Cole hit 5.2, maybe 5.4. Diesel runs at a 1.32 into the stream, then Cole, then Diesel again to try to beat Cole's. Diesel ran a 5.5, then a 5.9. And it makes sense. Your second 40 is always going to be slower than your first, with rare exceptions. I have watched Cole run this 40 twice so far.
Get ready. Get ready, people, because it's going to be amazing what he's about to say.
No, I might give him a 5.5. That is not 5.2
speed. Rob Brown is saying he can look at this and tell what time it is without using a watch, because in his head, it doesn't look fast, so there's no way it's a 5.2.
Dude, you can watch a thing happen and not know the exact number, but still be able to get pretty close just by experience. I am looking at this as somebody who just spent the weekend watching the combine. You can tell the difference in 5 second speed and 6 second speed, 4.5 and 5.5. I can tell the difference in 5 to 5.5, 4.5 to 5. That's why they do the little like projection images on the screen where they like, this is that dude running and this is that dude running. You can see the difference in 4.5 and 4 or 4.5 and 5. This ain't 5.2 speed. It's 5.5, 5.6 speed, which is more than commendable.
No one's buying. I celebrate Cole and Diesel for doing something that I can't do right now. I celebrate them both. They both look extremely fast.
I respect them going out and doing it.
You don't sound like you do. I respect them, and I believe if they say that's what they did, that's what they did. I'm not willing to go and get my own stopwatch and count it. I believe in Rob Jones, who's the assistant news director at WORD. He's not going to make that up. He's got a reputation. If Rob says that's what it is, it's what it is. Your emotion, your anger, I don't understand. You should be praising our guys. And not only were they willing to go out there and put it all there, I mean, Colt took his shirt off. I mean, nobody else is doing that. And it's a amazing way to go, guys. You're not getting it from Rob, but you're getting it from me. Good job.
If I go play golf with a guy, and this guy...
That's a leisure thing. It's not what they did with sport.
If I go play golf with a guy, and throughout the round, this guy's improving his lie, right? He puts one in the straw, and then he picks it up and moves it to the grass, or he hits one on the side of a hill, and then he rolls it back so it's on the flat, or he knocks one to within 4 feet, and he goes, that's a gimme, and picks it up and records a one or whatever. I don't care about that. Okay, cool. It's golf. I'm good with that. I don't care about that. Where I will care is if we get to the clubhouse and he goes, shot an 81 today. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You did not shoot an 81. You shot like a 96 and you credited yourself with an 81, though that's not what you did. If we go, if Cole and I go golfing and I shoot the ball 96 times, but I take 15 mulligans and I claim an 81, he ought to go, "No, bro, that's not what you did. That's not what happened here." Like,
all
that's
I
not
say
it.
Is Diesel and Cole, I hope you're hearing this. You know,
I literally texted Cole and said, "I'm talking about this right
now,
dog.
You think this is your guy? This is not your guy. I'm your guy. Okay.
No.
I'm your support. I'm always in your corner. This guy is just talking about seeing a heel turn. This is what we're getting right here."
You know what friends do? They keep you humble and honest. That's what friends do. A friend doesn't gas you up with a bunch of lies to make you feel like you're better than you are. That's not what friends do.
Oh, now they're lying. Who's lying? So is Cole lying? Is Diesel lying? Is Steven lying? Is Rob Jones lying? Who's lying? You just accuse someone of lying. I want to know who's the liar.
You know what I am right now?
Who is the liar?
You know what I am right now? I'm
angry for no reason?
I'm not John Cena. I'm Kevin Owens. I'm right. You may even call me a heel. That's fine. But I'm right. That's not, I love Cole. That ain't 5'2 speed. I'm like CM Punk. I'm not going to stab you in the back. I'm your friend. I'm going to stab you in the front.
How many times have you said but in the last two segments? If you have to say, yeah, I love him, but that's a sure sign that you don't. I mean, there's a whole lot of buts in there.
If I didn't, I wouldn't have texted him, be like, yo, I'm talking about you right now, dog. I'm talking about you on the show right now. I'd have been like, hey, whatever. He can
here's
figure
the,
it out.
Thing,
it
you
out.
Know, so I've been texting him too. They just won't come on the show. And that's fine. I mean, last time Cole said he was busy. Now, they just don't want to come on the show. And you know what? If I were them, I would not come on now either. Because they're having to come on and defend your integrity means someone's putting it in question. You're putting their integrity in question. I am not. I believe them. You don't.
I'm not putting anything in question other than a claim of a 5-2.
Why would they come on here and defend anything?
Because
they don't need to. Then
if
why
they
you texting
want to,
them?
They're welcome to.
Then why are you texting them?
To let them know. I'm like, yeah, bro, just before it gets to you, so you know, I don't want anybody texting me like Rob was talking smack about you.
Well, that never happened.
I'm telling you I am.
In the history of this station, that's never happened.
Y'all can come to the stream and watch it. That ain't 5-2 speed. Love you, Cole. That ain't 5-2 speed. And for the record, before all of you start hitting me with the, he's faster than you. Absolutely. He absolutely is. I'm not saying I'm faster than him. I'm saying 5-2.
Listen. You hit 40 and then you get jealous of people, young athletes that are still able to do stuff that you couldn't do anymore. And well, I'm not talking about Diesel, of course. I'm talking about Cole because Diesel's older than you and probably can outrun you.
Is he older than me?
Yes, we've had this conversation before. Yeah, he hit 40 last year, I believe.
I don't remember things. All right, we got a lot more we got to get into in the radio program today. James said, why are you booing me? I'm right. That's exactly it. That's it. Texture said, and now people know why this show is a hard listen. Well, I mean, some people don't enjoy the three-time South Carolina broadcasters.
And yet you listened long enough to send that text.
All right, let's get to some other stuff on the radio program. We have talked about the combine a little bit. Let's get into, as John Blau joins us here in about 33 minutes from right now, some of the audio blitz. Speaking of running the 40. Isaiah Bond. Nope, that's not the clip I was looking for. Let me take that one back. Let me go to this one. Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, is probably my favorite guy in the NBA right now. Joe Mazzulla is my favorite head coach, maybe in sports right now, because Mazzulla is the dude that does not get into the coaching platitudes. After a Celtics game against the Celtics the other day, where this team had, I think Tatum went off for like 41 and they still lost, Mazzulla was taking questions and had what I think might be my favorite media/head coach interaction in a very long time. I love that. I love everything
so
about that interaction.
HR violations in that whole thing. The interaction between the two, I was uncomfortable.
Why?
I was very uncomfortable. It was flirtatious.
I don't think it was flirtatious at all.
I mean, I don't know if he's married or not, but probably. And it
if
was,
a man it was asked the question and he responded the same way, would you say it was flirtatious?
It was uncomfortable. It could be.
No.
I mean, it absolutely could be.
That was a head coach that was pointing out.
He was kind of talking down to her a little bit.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
He was.
He literally just said, I've been here 3 years. That's the most profound question I've gotten in 3 years.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. The fact that he destroyed the media and you didn't go at him.
Because he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because he's right. It is, and this is something, and I did this earlier in the show. I might be guilty of it. It is something that I have viewed as a problem for a long time, and that is the people with the pencils and the pads and the mics and the headsets watching and breaking down sports as fans, not as analysts. He is exactly correct. The Boston Celtics have had games where the shots aren't falling, and their expected defensive numbers are through the roof. They're still winning games. And people have said, oh, you know, they're shooting too many threes. They're a lack of effort. They're not they are dialed in. Sometimes the shots don't fall. That's sports. Sometimes things just don't click. And Joe Mazzulla pointing out that if you lean in on fan narratives, oh, this team doesn't try very hard. This team's lazy. They're out of sync. Sometimes that's right. Sometimes the team is out of sorts. Again, I referenced this when we talked about Clemson's sweep of South Carolina over the weekend. I watched Sunday's game. South Carolina looked like it had laid down. It looked like a team that laid down. There are games where you just can't hit the baseball. There are games where the pitcher just has your number. There are games where, for whatever reason, your defense on the diamond's out of sync. In basketball, there are days when the shot just won't fall. There are days when the other team's offense is clicking and you can't keep up defensively. Those days absolutely exist. So when you take those days and you try to simplify it down to, oh, they're lazy. Oh, they didn't work. Oh, they're out of sync. They're poorly coached. They're this, they're that. I don't think you're diving deep enough. I don't think you're getting into it deep enough. And Joe Mazzulla just pointed that out, and I love the take. When you look at a game where they shoot 22% from three, and then you go look at the defensive numbers and you go, wait a minute, they also held Cleveland to 36% from the floor. They weren't lazy. They just weren't having the shots fall. It's going to happen. I like this take. I thought this take was fantastic. All right, let's get this one in. This is Armand Membo. He's an offensive lineman from Mizzou. He lined up to run his 40. He didn't run a 5-2. He did give me the best audio from the combine.
You know, I haven't heard the audio from Diesel and Cole. It could have sounded just like that. It's possible.
I'm pulling for this guy. I'm pulling for Mizzou offensive lineman Armand Membo, who was dying to set a 40 record.
How fast did he run?
Let's go find out what his final time was. That's a great question. Armand Membo, 40-time NFL combine. Let's see if Cole Bryson's faster. A 4.91. 4.91. That's pretty solid. Let's see.
Here's the thing. I know you're pretty good at video. So you could pull his video and you could put Cole next to him and could do that thing where they put people at running at the same time. You could do that. And we could find out that way.
You know what? I'm good with that. We'll see how much. Because our mom, Membo,
he'll spend 5 hours
Cole.
Doing that today.
Yeah, dude, it's all I'm going to do. This man, by the way, just in case you're curious, 6'4". And I'm never coming back to this website. All right, it's muted. We're good now. 6'4", 332 pounds. I'm going to go ahead and tell Cole, he ain't 332 pounds. He's got that going for him, which is nice. He ain't 332. I respect that. Let's see here. Bum-bum-bum-bum. Oh, speaking of the draft, we're 55 days away. A lot of question marks about who should draft what. Tiki Barber was talking about his beloved New York Giants and had a take on quarterbacks. Thank you. Thank you, Tiki Barber, other guy who knows ball. That's what I've been screaming for years. And yet we keep watching teams do this. Watching quarterbacks fail, blaming the quarterbacks, and not the franchises. Thank you, Tiki Barber. I don't care how good the guy is. You put him in a garbage franchise, you're going to get a garbage result. This is why I defended Bryce Young for as long as I defended Bryce Young. Because if you looked at the franchise in the state that it was in when he got there, it was very clearly a garbage franchise. Now, they've done a lot to get better, as we pointed out earlier in the show, or at least I did. Dave Tepper's gotten out of the way. When's the last time you heard from Dave Tepper, about Dave Tepper? Really haven't. The last couple of times we've heard about Dave Tepper was back in September when he opened up BOA for that concert to benefit Hurricane Helene relief, and when Charlotte FC started up and the conversation about turf or grass in the stadium popped up again. That's it. That's it. He's gotten out of the way. He went and got a GM who cares, a GM who's locked in on running the team, a GM who said, I'm running this team, not you. A head coach who fits what you have instead of trying to fit what you have to a head coach that you like. Everything that has happened in Charlotte since a year ago, almost exactly, has been good. And would you look at that? Just about everybody has come around to, maybe this Bryce fella can throw the football a little bit. Maybe he can spin the bean a little bit.
Wow, how many wins did he get?
Yes, because again, that's all that matters.
Okay, people on the radio don't know what you just did.
I pointed out my poster in the back that says wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. I really got to find a way to move that closer to the screen. Maybe I'm just going to get one of those stands just for that poster.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Right here.
You go ahead and do that.
Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. I got some more sound for you. We got John Blau with the Post and Courier coming up at 8:40. And yes, whether you like it or not, I apologize to the great one. I can't wait till Fight Club to talk about the heel turn. So we will get some wrestling on a Monday. Deal with it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Dancing in the moonlight, everybody's feeling warm and bright. The stream is popping off today. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on X. The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. We'd love to have you.
By the way, stream, I think you're popping. I don't think you're popping off, because popping off is disrespectful. And the stream would never be disrespectful.
Nah, popping off just like, popping off
is like,
it's the same thing.
It's like, no, popping is like, yeah, this thing is popping. Popping off is like you're coming at somebody.
All right.
This is so negative today.
I would ordinarily have put this clip inside of the audio blitz, but I'm going to put it here because I love it very much. The F1 series is getting back into action. Have had a couple of races now. Carlos Sainz is a racer, and in the F1 event this past weekend, when they were first getting the car out there, turning some laps, getting it up to speed, putting it through its paces, you know, one of the things you got to do is you got to make sure that your radio works. You got to have that communication. There is nothing more important in any job or relationship than communication. You got to be able to talk. You got to be able to listen. You got to be able to deliver your message and receive one back. So Carlos Sainz in his car, turning laps, getting it up to speed. Well, it was time to test the comms with his pit crew chief. Yeah. Yeah, to test the comms, they played Carlos Sainz, a little smooth operator. And my man was like, oh, what's that? I'm doing a $1.99 through a hairpin? That's all right. I got time to drop some smooth operator on the mic. I got some time to drop a little smooth operator. What a banger of a song, first off. Second off, Carlos Sainz. We have had a run of athletes who make me feel better about myself. We had Siwoo Kim on the PGA Tour a week and a half ago talking about knocking down 3 Red Bulls and a Tylenol PM to find his level. We had Kyle Busch interrupting a pod to drop off Zen packs and mini bottles of bourbon. And now I got Carlos Sainz spinning circles in an open wheel, singing Smooth Operator to keep himself paced. I gotta tell you, I went into last week thinking like, all right, about to turn 40. It's all on the downhill. I'm out of my prime. I'm past my peak. I'm never going to be the same guy. But I got golfers on Red Bull and Tylenol PM. I got NASCAR driver on Zen and bourbon. And now I got Carlos Sainz spinning it down I-385 to Smooth Operator. Maybe I'm okay.
Hey, Rob, where's the H in Sade? I've never been able to find it.
I don't know. That's not the sound I was looking for. This is so good. So good.
I don't think I'll ever not laugh at that.
So good, man. Well done, Carlos Sainz. Didn't just take the smooth operator and let it play to test the radio. No. My man was like, oh, what's that? Time to shine?
You know, there's some kids out there listening right now. They don't know that song.
Smooth operator. It's on Spotify, kids. Go find it. All right? It's going to change your world for the better. One of those songs. That's on that list. There's like a list of songs.
Coast to coast, LA to Chicago. Love for sale.
If that song comes on, Rob Brown experiences a heightened mood.
Wait, is she singing about a gigolo?
I don't even know. I'm gonna be honest with you. I mean, I obviously she's singing about a dude. But
coast to coast, LA to Chicago, love for sale. That just sounds like it might be a gigolo. I don't know.
Let's see. Now I'm just reading over the I'm just skimming over the lyrics. Diamond Life, Lover Boy, we're moving space with minimum waste and maximum joy. City lights and business lights and business nights when you require streetcar desire for higher heights. No place for beginners or sensitive hearts when sentiment is left to chance. No place to be ending, but somewhere to start. Sure, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think maybe she's just singing about a dude that like...
You skipped the chorus, though. The chorus is the part where it sounds like she's talking about him being a gigolo.
No need to ask. He's a smooth operator. I don't know. I don't know his answer. Here's what I know. It's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of those songs that, like, they're about something that you're like, I probably shouldn't be so happy and upbeat about this particular topic going on, but it's so damn catchy. I can't help myself. If Smooth Operator drops.
You mean like when Reba McEntire sold her daughter into prostitution?
First off, no, Reba was the daughter in that song.
Okay, my bad.
She was fancy.
My bad. Okay, all right. It was still about prostitution, though. Don't let your family down.
I didn't say it wasn't. I just said it's iconic, man. That's all. Smooth Operator's on that list of songs that if it comes on, I don't tell you, I'm in a good mood. How can you not be? It's Queen's Don't Stop Me Now. It's AC/DC's Shoot to Thrill.
Okay, you got me there.
It's I Can See Clearly Now. The rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
By who?
I don't remember.
Yeah, me either.
Some guy. Doesn't matter. Song's a banger. All right? So good on Carlos Sainz for going, you got Smooth Operator and I got a mic. How about the world's fastest karaoke? Karaoke at its fastest. I'm here for it. All right. I got one more for you. Remember a couple months ago we had college football bowl season going on. The Colorado Buffaloes made themselves a bowl game this year. Shedeur Sanders showed up to play in that bowl game, and Shedeur Sanders, when he came out in that bowl game, was rocking a specialty pair of signature cleats. Those cleats were New York Giants cleats, and it kind of sent the NFL world a spinning. Right? They're like, is there behind the scenes conversation? Is Deion Primetime Sanders working the phones to try to get Shedeur? Shedeur is a quarterback. The New York Giants need one of them. Is this the direction we're going in? And that's kind of been a conversation. Could the Giants be in the move? They were reportedly interested in Matt Stafford before he re-signed with the LA Rams. They have been connected all weekend long to Aaron Rodgers and potentially bringing A-Rod of the football persuasion across town to be the newest quarterback of the NYG. And now we got this whole thing with Shedeur. Welp, Malik Nabers, the rookie wide receiver going into his second year out of Louisiana State University, sat down with some media members to answer some questions. And, there was this exchange. Now, I'm interested in that clip because it's one of two things. Either number one, it's Malik Nabers being a wonderful New York Giant and playing into hashtag smokescreen season, which is a possibility. Or number two, Malik Nabers has in just a year become one of the biggest divas in the National Football League. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is why this is the best time of year. I don't know which one's true.
Or maybe I can throw in a number three here. Maybe he knows that if that's not going to be the quarterback, then the quarterback that's coming in is going to go, all you want is Shador, and now you got me. So he's trying to stay out of it and not cause any strife. I mean, that's what I'm going to go with.
Maybe. All I know is my man hit the fastest. He hit a no comment faster than his 40 time. That's spectacular.
Players can't tamper, can they? It's only.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah. They had. Gosh, who was it? Was it James Cook at the Super Bowl? One of the Buffalo Bills was on the NFL net trying to sell his sales pitch to Myles Garrett to come to Buffalo. He's like, you know, we're real close. I'm just saying. We got some good stuff going on here in Buffalo, Myles.
Say D&D every Thursday. And you would have got Myles Garrett.
That's true. All right. I'm interested. Oh, I do have one more. I lied. I forgot about this one. Adam Thielen, Bryce Young, take it away. That was Adam Thielen and Bryce Young. They were both on Cam Jordan's podcast from the Combine. Adam Thielen says, I have somehow become the official XL translator of the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young said, we were in a place that was dark and loud, and I straight up told him I can't talk to you right now because I don't know what the hell you're saying.
Wow, that's so insensitive. It really is. I mean, take a little time, Bryce, and listen a little bit closer. Rob and I don't have any problem understanding him.
It is also
Adam Thielen has no problem understanding him.
Dan Morgan. I know you're listening right now because we are, again, three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. We form the opinion of the Carolina Panthers here in the upstate. Even if people don't know that I'm forming it correctly for them, they learn. Dan, I am willing to sign on right now as the official XL translator for the team. That's a lot of responsibility on Adam Thielen. That's a lot to put on this man's plate. All right, that's a lot to ask of the guy as he is trying to make sure that he continues to be the best wide receiver. Going to have a change in role on the offense likely upcoming this season, trying to continue the maturation process, helping Bryce Young grow as a QB. That's a lot of responsibility to put on the plate. I am happy to come up there to Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll drive back and forth every single day. I come here, do the show in the morning. I'll pop in the car as soon as it's done. I'll head up to Charlotte. I, Dan Morgan, am willing to be hired on right now. What a wonderful value, too. I'll give you a good deal. I'm willing to sign on right now to be the official Xavier Leggett translator for the Carolina Panthers. I will just simply follow this man around, listen to what he has to say, and then put it into not Xavier Leggett language for everybody else on the team. I feel like I would be an added benefit to the staff of the Carolina Panthers as the XL translator of the team. Just give me a call my people, Dan Morgan. I'm ready.
What if part of the requirement would be you have to eat whatever's in his Tupperware and not ask what it is?
But my family is from the woods of Southeast Louisiana.
So raccoon, you're good with it.
I can go ahead and tell you, with the exception of raccoon, which I'll happily try if XL says it's good, with the exception of raccoon, there's probably very little that XL has put on a plate that I haven't already had. All right? I eat boudin regularly. I'm here. Dano, give me a buzz, bud. I will make your team's life easier. I will sign on today. We can do a one-year contract that runs from draft to draft. I will sign on as the official XL coordinator and translator for the Carolina Panthers. That is, I'm right here, pal. Just give me a buzz, Dan Morgan. I'm right here. Little shoddy on the way out. I almost want to talk to the course just to make sure we get there because, like, this song puts me in a good mood. When we come back, John Blau of the Post and Courier joins us. We'll talk about Clemson basketball. Just one game left on the regular season before we get to the ACC tournament. Clemson baseball sweeps the Gamecocks of South Carolina. We'll check in with his thoughts on the baseball weekend and more. All of that coming up after Shadi talks to us a little bit more on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Oh, I didn't get through the pre-chorus, did I?
You did not.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's not.
What I meant to say was, on the Rob Brown Show!
It's still.
And the Fan Upstate!
It's still not there yet, dude. I mean, come on. All right, now you
Shoddy,
can do it.
Get to it. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Smooth operator. Smooth operator.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues right here and live on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, you, and now joining us on the phone line as he does every Monday morning at 8:40 a.m. to talk a little Clemson Tiger athletics. He is a beat reporter, a young man doing outstanding work for the Post and Courier. Mr. John Blau joins us now on the show. John, my man, how goes it, partner?
It's good. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. How much running around the Palmetto State did John Blau do this weekend with the baseball team playing in Clemson, then in Greenville, and then over in Columbia? Did you get to all three? Did you get to any of them?
I did two out of the three legs. So I was at Clemson. I was in Greenville, which is actually where I live, so that was pretty easy. And then David Kleininger, our South Carolina reporter, took care of the third game. But we got it all covered as a paper.
Do you as the Clemson reporter and he as the South Carolina reporter, are there like text fired off between baseball sweeps having a little fun, or do we strictly keep it professional at the Post and Courier?
I can only speak for myself. I try to keep it professional. I think David might have a couple jabs every now and again, but I mostly ignore him. So
fair enough. He did not after this weekend, and we'll start with baseball, if you don't mind, John Blau, because while there are a lot of good things going on for the Clemson basketball team, and we'll come to that here in just a minute, you did get the in-state three-game sweep. Again, this has been a series that, as of late, has been predominantly owned by the Clemson Tigers. On the sliding spectrum of Clemson beat South Carolina versus South Carolina performed poorly and Clemson took advantage, where do you have the meter set?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were probably, obviously, if you're a South Carolina fan, there are moments where maybe there's a missed defensive play here or a missed opportunity on, you know, bases loaded, didn't drive somebody in. But at the same time, if you're Clemson, the fact that the pitching gave up six runs in three games, I mean, you're going to be hard to beat if you're pitching at that level, if you're getting out of jams. Obviously, I think a huge question going into the weekend was how was Ethan Darden and Justin Legernick going to hold up in a rivalry series against SEC hitters, and they were both fantastic. The bullpen continues to show that it has some depth to it, and so at the end of the day, I think Clemson did what it had to do to win. They had the timely hitting, they had the great pitching, and to win three games to sweep your rivalry series, you know, baseball you're bound to drop one game here or there, even if you win a series. To sweep is a pretty big statement. I mean, it shows that you're a pretty strong team, and that more times than not, you're gonna figure out a way to come out on top. And this weekend, it was the pitching just being outstanding.
I do not disagree with that at all. One of the things that we talked about more from the Carolina perspective earlier was I have some questions, and I'll handle this on a different segment about Paul Maneri coming in at 73 years old, been out of the game for a little while, and his ability to communicate with the young men, especially in year number one in that locker room. On the flip side, Eric Backe is kind of the exact opposite. I'm watching my man out there on the mound during a Savannah Bananas exhibition with his shirt off, looking yoked as hell, dancing with the fellas. And I said on this show the next day, John, I'm like, that's the type of dude that kids want to play for. That's the type of dude that gets the fellas excited, that people want to be around. And I thought this weekend you saw that enthusiasm, that passion out of a Clemson baseball team that was playing as much for pride on the front of the shirt as anything else. Talk to me a little bit about what this team feels like with him as its leader so far early in this season.
Yeah, I think it was Paul Maneri was actually saying that I think there was a joke about the coaches of South Carolina Clemson. You almost thought they were going to fight each other. Maneri said something like, have you seen Eric Backe? Like, you know, I wouldn't want to fight that guy. I'm like, you know, again, close to 70 or whatever. And so, yeah, no, he definitely brings a certain intensity, focus, passion. You saw it. He talks about playing on the playground, that we're out there, we're just going to kind of let it hang loose. You saw it in that second game where, you know, Cam Cannarella drives in a run, and they're bringing him all the way from second around third to home on a swinging bunt by Luke Gaffney. I mean, they do stuff. They really push the limits. They're very aggressive. And they just seem to, again, to in moments where other teams might fold, they kind of really bear down to get the timely hits. They get the outs they need to get, and that's from Backe. He really talks about the mental side of the game. And they basically meditate in their classroom sessions. I mean, he talks about slowing down the heartbeat. He really focuses on a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, he's a young, up-and-coming, or maybe not up-and-coming, has arrived coach who's doing good things at Clemson. And I think everybody's kind of excited about the trajectory he has them on.
Talk to me about the lineup in this game. 8 hits in the Sunday finale, which was the sweep. The bats were good. I mean, maybe not white hot, but we're also 11 games into the season. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to develop that chemistry. How good was the lineup from the plate this series for Clemson? And more importantly, how good do you think it can be over the course of the season with 40-some-odd games left to play?
Yeah, I mean, the most consistent bat has been Dominic Listy, the guy who's at the top of the order now, and actually wrote a feature about him last week, just the journey from Division III, a guy who's like a 500 on-base percentage at Division III, and has somehow maintained that at the Division I level. He's been a huge addition, just getting on base and kind of putting pressure on opposing defenses that way. And then, you know, Cam Cannarella was a guy at kind of a slow start. Luke Gaffney as well. They've started to heat up a little bit. Obviously, Cannarella with some big hits in the second and the third game. I think that kind of bodes well for them. At the end of the day, Priest had a huge home run. The Michigan transfer, he's been a little up and down, but, you know, at the up moments have been really big, particularly yesterday. So, it seems like it's all kind of rounding into shape. They're still kind of moving some pieces around in the order, trying to figure it out, because, you know, Eric Backe came into the year saying he thought he had about, you know, 12, 13 hitters. And obviously you can only play about 9, literally only 9 each game. So it's a lineup that, you know, has not been hitting for power as much as last year. I don't know if they have the same amount of power, but I don't know if they need it. You have so many guys that can get on base, so many guys that any given day are going to be able to get the clutch hit. So I think right now it looks pretty good. Again, it wasn't overpowering until that last game where they kind of pulled away. But as long as they're pitching the way they're pitching right now, they should have more than enough in the lineup to win games.
John Blatt from the Post and Courier joining us here and every Monday at 8:40 on the Rob Brown Show. Just 7 games, John Blatt, until the ACC season starts off March 14th with a 3-game set against Notre Dame, 2 against the Citadel. Then it's Wake Forest, Coastal Carolina. We are starting to line them up just a couple of weeks from now. What do you want to see out of this program between here and that conference opener against Notre Dame?
Yeah, just like I was saying, the shifting of the lineup, just seeing them kind of land on a consistent, you know, nine and, you know, rotate a little bit from there. You know, I think they're trying to figure out between Andrew Chufo, Josh Pano, Tristan McClatty, who that infield should be. You know, they move Pano around from third to shortstop to get McClatty in. They move McClatty to right field sometimes, and Tristan Beceta is in there. They kind of have to figure out between those three or four bats kind of who the best ones are. That's going to be an interesting thing. And then also just continuing to see that pitching staff continue to build out. Michael Gillen, a transfer from Seton Hall, they really like. Haven't seen him yet. He's had back issues. You know, if he gets back, kind of what does that look like? What does he add? Because right now, again, with Mason Dvorsky, Joe Allen, Drew Titsworth, Malstead, Reed Garris, they really seem to have a pretty deep pitching staff, and it might only get deeper. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when and if he comes back.
Let's flip over to basketball here for just a few minutes. John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here and every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson basketball, baseball, football, soccer, whatever we get to. 71-58 win over the Virginia Cavaliers was never really in doubt in the second half. Trailed by five at the half, John Blau, but then outscored Virginia by what? I think like 28 in the second half. Just ran away in Shefflin, 21 points on 8 of 11 from the floor. The Tigers shooting almost 48% from the floor. What was it that stood out about this game, the penultimate game in the regular season for the Tigers?
Just the way Ian Shefflin continues to play. I mean, that's a guy who is battling through leg issues, back spasms, all kinds of stuff, and they were kind of letting him just be, you know, again, it's almost defensive to call him the glue guy because he's got more skill than that, but he was almost kind of reverting to that role a little bit because he didn't have quite the juice. He wasn't 100% healthy, and it seems like he's 100% healthy again. And, you know, back-to-back games with 20-plus points for him. You know, I think he had a double-double yesterday or 2 days ago as well. And so having him back in the mix, it really makes them dangerous because, you know, you're not leaning as much. I think Chase Hunter had kind of a down game again. I think he's been dealing with a calf strain. But they were able to get through it because they have Ian Shefflin, and as Dabo Swinney now calls him, the Loch Ness monster, the interior guys are really picking up the slack right now. So that's what's impressive. It's just that they're showing they have such versatility and who can score. And obviously, if they maintain the level of defense that they play, they should be really hard to beat.
Two games left at Boston College coming up on Wednesday, back home against Virginia Tech. Obviously, also keeping an eye on Louisville and Duke, because a Cardinal loss and a Duke loss could end up being an outright conference win, could be a share of the conference. We'll see how all the tiebreakers and all that shake out, John Blau. But regardless of whether it's first, second, third in the ACC's regular season standing, catching a bye in the ACC tournament, are we going to be able to label this a successful regular season? I know we've won more ACC games than ever before, but does the success of the season have anything to do with the standings in the ACC tournament, or are we kind of turning the eyes towards March Madness already?
Yeah, I mean, for me at least, it's turning the eyes to March Madness. I mean, obviously it was a huge thing to go to the Elite Eight last year to have that program momentum, but you wanted to see them get back to the NCAA tournament to follow that up, and obviously replacing some huge pieces with PJ Hall and, you know, Joe Girard and some of those other guys, and, you know, to be able to bring those pieces back together, have a team that, like you said, won the most ACC games of any team, Clemson to be basically in the NCAA tournament. I think even if they lost these last couple games, I don't think they are. They didn't have a great showing in the NCAA tournament. The ACC tournament, they're still probably making the NCAA tournament. So just getting back there, I think, is huge. And the way they're playing right now, the continuity, the momentum that they have, gives you hopes that they have a chance to make a run again. So I think, you know, they've done a lot thus far. Obviously, they want to finish it and continue to do more. But for me, I think they've accomplished a heck of a lot already just with what they've done.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joins us every Monday at 8:40. The next time we speak, we will know exactly where Clemson is seated in the ACC postseason tournament. My man, thank you very much. Go take a very well-deserved Monday afternoon siesta, sir.
I will try. Thanks, Rob.
Attaboy, John Blau, Post and Courier. We appreciate his time this and every Monday here on the Rob Brown Show. When we come back, final hour of the show belongs to you. The phone line, 844-326-3663. The text line, 844-326-3663. What do you want Lonzo and I to get to talk about, to discuss, to answer? We're going to talk about LeBron's comments on being the face of the NBA. We are going to talk about the biggest heel turn in professional wrestling since 1996 and more. In the final hour, that's all after the Hulk Hogan of Sports Flat, the John Cena of the Rock of Sport, the Steve Austin of Sports Flashes, Lonzo.
I don't know if I'm going to go with the Shawn Michaels. Just a sexy boy. Exactly. South Carolina women's basketball team claimed a share of the SEC. He sounded like a Muppet. A share of the SEC regular season title with a 78-66 win over Kentucky yesterday. Tessa Johnson had 16 off the bench while Tiana Pau-Pau led the starters with 13, and Chloe Kitts added 12 and 10 rebounds with the win. The Gamecocks claimed a share of the SEC regular season title, split with Texas as both end the season with a 15-1 record. But South Carolina gets the nod thanks to winning a coin flip. Carolina Hurricanes knocked off the Calgary Flames last night, 2-1 in overtime. Sebastian Aho scored his fifth overtime winner of the season, the most of any player in the league to date. Tune in to Saturday at 8 p.m. as Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs in the first round of the SoCon basketball tournament. It's Furman versus Samford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate